You have the whole world, but give me Jesus. You take the whole world, but give me Jesus. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live, I surrender. I surrender whole. All to Thee, my Lord and Savior, I surrender all. I surrender whole. I surrender whole. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasure all forsaking, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender. I surrender whole. I surrender whole to Thee, my Lord and Savior. I surrender whole. I surrender whole. I surrender whole to my Savior. You must be born again. You must be born again. Jesus, verily, verily say unto you, ye must be born again here tonight. You must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto you, ye must be born again here tonight. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto you, don't say no to the Spirit's call. Don't say no to the Spirit's call. He's calling to one. He's calling to all. Don't say no to the Spirit's call. Never say no to the Spirit's call. Don't say no to the Spirit's call. He's calling to one, he's calling to all. Don't say no to the Spirit's call. Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard the Master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender your life tonight. Wherever he leads, I'll go.
Amen. We pray that God will give us the grace to follow him wherever he leads us in Jesus' name. We want to welcome those who are here for the first time this night for the Bible study. And if tonight is your first time of coming to study the Word of God with us here in this church, can you please rise up wherever you are for recognition and for the greeting of our pastor. You are here for the first time. Can you please stand up wherever you are for recognition and for the greeting of our pastor? You are welcome in Jesus' name. This is Deeper Life Bible Church International Headquarters, Bagada. And our Father in the Lord is very happy that you are here with us. And all the people that are around you are also happy that you are here with us. It's our desire that you keep coming. You will not make today your first and the last. We pray that as you come, you'll be blessed in Jesus' name. Our ushers are very close to you. They will give you a slip of paper and a package. Please collect it from them and supply all the information therein and thereby return it back to them. Then you can have your seat. Weekly meetings announcement. Every Monday like this, we come to study the Word of God systematically and expositorily. And we start by 10 minutes to 6 every evening. On Thursday, we come for the Revival Evangelism Training Service. It starts by 6:30 p.m. Then on Sundays, we come for devotional worship service, which starts by 7:45 a.m. We want you to please avail yourself for all these meetings. And you ask yourself, those who brought you here, the nearest location or district to your house where you can fellowship with us. Because tonight, the Bible study comprises brethren from Bagada, Chuchomolu, and Oshodi. So you can ask them wherever is nearest to you, where you can have fellowship with us. As you do that, the Almighty God will bless you in Jesus' name. We rise up now to offer our tithes and offerings unto the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Let's lift up our offerings as we pray. Our Father in the Lord, our Father, Lord, we thank you and bless you. We give you glory for the grace you are giving to us to go out to labor and to get resources. Lord, we thank you very much for the you have put it in our hearts to give unto you. Lord, our God, we are praying that you receive these offerings and use it for the glory of your name in Jesus' name. We are praying that the blessings that followed giving, you will pour upon your people in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. You can open your eyes and drop the offerings in the baskets that are passing by you. We shall remain standing as we sing from our gospel hymns and songs, number 47. Gospel hymns and songs, number 47. Just as God who reigns on high spake to men in days gone by, so the Lord is calling men today. And my brother, this is true. Whatsoever he says to you, there is but one thing to do, just obey. If you are in the Savior's hands, you must do as he commands, for there is no other gospel way. Never put the message by, never stop to reason why. When the Savior speaks to you, just obey. If for mansions fair you sigh, in that land beyond the sky, after time with you has passed away, though the way you may not see, Christ is calling, follow me. Faith and duty both we cry, just obey. Just obey, just obey. It's the way, God's way. When his message comes to you, there is but one thing to do, just obey.
as he commands. Father, restore all the gospel way. Never put the message by. Never stop to reason why. When the Savior speaks to you, just obey. Just obey. Just obey. He's the way. God's way. When this message comes to you, there is but one thing to do. Land beyond the sky, at a time with you has passed away. Though the way you may not see, Christ is calling, follow me. Faith and duty, what we cry, just obey. Just obey. Just obey. He's the
Today we're going to continue with our Bible reading. But before we read, shall we just have a moment of prayer? Father, we're asking that you will open our eyes of understanding as we read your word today. We're asking that relevant passages that really speak to our present needs and problems, spiritually and physically and materially, you will impress upon our hearts. Be with us, enlighten us, instruct us, teach us as we read together now. In Jesus' name, I pray. We'll continue with the reading now.
The book of the prophet Isaiah. The book of the prophet Isaiah.
Chapter 7. Chapter 7. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria, and of the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 75 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. The Lord shall bring upon thee and upon thy people and upon thy father's house days that have not come, from the day that Ephraim departed from Judah, even the king of Assyria. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall hiss for the fly that is in the uttermost part of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. And they shall come and shall rest all of them in the desolate valleys, and in the holes of the rocks, and upon all thorns, and upon all bushes. In the same day shall the Lord shave with a razor that is hired, namely by them beyond the river by the king of Assyria, the head, and the hair of the feet, and it shall also consume the beard. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall every one eat that is left in the land. And it shall come to pass in that day that every place shall be where there were 1,000 vines at 1,000 silverlings, it shall even be for briars and thorns. With arrows and with bows shall men come thither, because all the land shall become briars and thorns. And on all hills that shall be digged with the mattock, there shall not come thither the fear of briars and thorns, but it shall be for the sending forth of oxen, and for the treading of lesser cattle. Chapter 8. Moreover the Lord said unto me, Take thee a great roll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Maher Shalal Ashbaz. And I took unto me faithful witnesses to record, Uriah the priest, and Zechariah the son of Jeberechiah. And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said the Lord to me, Call his name Maher Shalal Hashbaz. For before the child shall have knowledge to cry, My father and my mother, the riches of Damascus and the spoil of Samaria shall be taken away before the king of Assyria. The Lord spake also unto me again, saying, Forasmuch as this people refuseth the waters of Shiloah that go softly, and rejoice in reason and Remaliah's son, now therefore, behold, the Lord bringeth up upon them the waters of the river, strong and many, even the king of Assyria and all his glory. And he shall come up over all his channels and go over all his banks. And he shall pass through Judah. He shall overflow and go over. He shall reach even to the neck. And the stretching out of his wings shall fill the breadth of thy land, O Emmanuel. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces, and give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people, saying, Say ye not, A confederacy, to all them to whom this people shall say, A confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. Bind up the testimony, seal the law among my disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for him. Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for the signs and for wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. And when they shall say unto you, Seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. And they shall pass through it, hardly bestead and hungry. And it shall come to pass that when they shall be hungry, they shall fret themselves, and curse their king and their God, and look upward. And they shall look unto the earth, and behold trouble and darkness, dimness of anguish, and they shall be driven to darkness.
You have just listened to the Bible reading, and we need to take whatever we have learned to the Lord in prayer. Will you all rise up, please? Talk to the Lord in prayer. You've seen a commandment, a warning, an example, an instruction to obey, a promise to claim. Pray for grace that you will do as you have learned in the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Till us for bread. But this can be rich if they have contentment and sharing God's salvation plan. But if you know any who don't, they have plenty, I must then pity the man. And he knows not the giver of life. Traveler, a merchant, a builder who builds on the sand. Pauper, a king to be saved is a thing. If it's lost, then pity the man. I guess there are those who pity the saved as though they were missing life's best, forgetting the treasures of earth pass away and that heaven's the place to invest. Oh, meanwhile, esteeming the man who scheming to hold up the wealth that he can. But if while he's living to God is not giving his soul, then pity the man. Giver of life, traveler, a merchant, a builder who build on the sand. Pauper, rocking to be saved is the thing. Lost, then pity the man. And he knows not the giver of life.
Not a lawyer, traveler or merchant, builder who builds on the sand. Pauper or king to be saved is the thing. If he's lost, then pity the man.
Praise the Lord. I welcome everyone to our Bible study tonight in Jesus' name. For those who are coming for the first time, we are glad you are here. And we pray that the Bible study will be of tremendous benefit to you, leading you to the understanding of full salvation in Christ in Jesus' name. And for all our brothers and sisters, our children and youth and students and adults who have been coming all these years, the Lord bless you in the Bible study tonight in Jesus' name. And the Lord grant every one of us understanding. Understanding in the Word, that the Word will benefit everyone in Jesus' name. Deeper life, amen. Father, we do thank you for the Bible study. We're not taking anything for granted. We're not taking your love, your grace, your mercy for granted tonight. We appreciate you. We love you. We honor you. We surrender. We submit unto you. And we pray, Lord, you send your Spirit to open our eyes and to understand exactly what Jesus, our Savior, is emphasizing in the study of tonight in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, we'll not switch over to our own understanding, to our own religiosity, and to our own opinion in Jesus' name. When Jesus speaks, there is but one thing to do, just obey him. And Lord, we pray, as for the heavenly mansions we sigh, and we want to get there eventually, we pray that your real salvation will be ours in Jesus' name. The grace to understand, the grace to obey, whatever you are teaching and revealing to us, give us that grace tonight in Jesus' name. We pray there'll be no argument in our heart. There'll be no subtraction, addition in our heart. There'll be no going back to tradition in our heart. Let your word be your word in every life tonight in Jesus' name. We thank you because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name we pray. And deeper life said, amen. God bless you. We're coming to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Tonight we're studying from chapter 10 verse 17 all through to verse 31. Mark chapter 10 verse 17. And when he was come forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? A great question. The most important question. The greatest question any man could ask. And thank God he asked from the right person. He asked the question from the giver of eternal life. He asked the question from the one who has been from all eternity and is still here on earth at that time, and they will be going to eternity. If anyone knew anything about eternal life, it's Jesus. The Father actually has ordained him and has sent him to grant eternal life to everyone that will come to him, listen to him, obey him, believe him, and walk in the way with Christ. And so the man did right in coming after Christ, and actually he was running. He didn't want to miss the opportunity. Christ is passing by, I must get to him. This question is burning in my heart. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Why don't you go and ask the priest? No, they don't have eternal life themselves. Why don't you go and ask the Pharisees and the Sadducees? They do not know the way to have eternal life. Why don't you go to the synagogue? Why don't you read your Bible, the Old Testament? Why don't you fast and pray? I've done quite a lot of things, but I'm still confused. I'm in the dark. I do not understand. And he got to Jesus and he knelt down before him and he said, Master, not just master, good master. What shall I do? I'm not saying what will the church do? What will the synagogue do? What will religious people do for me that I might inherit eternal life? It's in your hand. It's what you do. It's what you believe. It's what you embrace. It's how you live. It's the grace you yourself receive from the Lord. What shall I do that I, whatever others do, whatever others have, whatever others miss, whatever others possess, whatever others do not possess, I, that I may inherit eternal life. I've got the best of things in this life, but the life here is short. I've got riches. I've got popularity. I've got a name. I've got a profession. I've got some provision. In fact, I'm so rich at my young age that people envy me. But there is still something I'm thinking about. When life is over, when the short, brief life here has come to an end, and I go to the great beyond, I'm interested to know, what shall I do that when it comes to that time and I cross over to the other side, that I may inherit eternal life? Have you ever thought about that? Do you think about that at the height of your position? Do you think about that at the height of your privilege? Do you think about that for you in particular? Don't throw it to another person now. Life on earth will not be forever. Whatever your position, whatever your possession, whatever your place, whatever your popularity, whatever it is you think, this is what I have here on earth. Life will not continue forever. Everyone will get to the other side eventually. When you go to the other side, where will you be? Where will you spend eternity? Those who are full of themselves and they are blindfolded by what they have on earth, they don't ever think about eternal life. But you must think about it. That's why you came to the Bible study. And you come to the right place. Because we're going to look at the words of Jesus. And this giver of eternal life will talk to you. And he will tell you very clear, in clear terms, what should you do that you may inherit eternal life. Tonight, we're considering the message, Christ's revealed condition of inheriting eternal life. Christ's revealed condition of inheriting eternal life. As we see the answer he gave to the man, and the response of the man, and then how Christ revealed to him what he must do, that there will be no impediment, no hindrance in his way to get to life eternal. And then we see the reaction of the man. Then after he has reacted, we find the final revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Putting everything together, here are three points we are talking about tonight. Number one, receiving eternal life through faith in Christ. Receiving eternal life through faith in Christ. Number two, reaping eternal loss through focus on the corruptible. All the things in this world are corruptible. The silver, the gold, the riches, the property, everything we can see, everything tangible, everything we can possess, everything we can hold on to, everything we work for, everything on earth, corruptible, because it can rust, it can be lost, and we don't take them beyond the grave. And yet, there are people that focus their lives, They focus their attention, they focus their heart, and they focus every seed they've got on the corruptible. And they reap eternal loss. Reaping eternal loss through focus on the corruptible. Point number three, retaining eternal life. It's one thing to have. It's another thing to retain. It's one thing to possess. It's another thing to keep. And how do we retain? How do we keep eternal life once we have received? Retaining eternal life through fellowship with the crucified. Christ, the crucified. Crucified to the world. Crucified to everything on earth. Separated from the world and separated from everything on earth. Holding the things of the world with a loose hand, that if anything on earth will compete with the eternal life you've got, you'd rather give up that, be crucified to that, be crucified to the world, and then you retain eternal life. Point number three, retaining eternal life through fellowship with the crucified. We're coming to point number one, receiving eternal life through faith in Christ. We're coming to Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." This young man that came, this rich man that came, this religious man that came, wasn't looking at Jesus as God. He was looking at him as a man, as a prophet. As a prophet of old, some said it was like Jeremiah. Some said it was like Elijah. Some said it was like all the men, good men, great men, good teachers, great teachers of the Old Testament. And coming with that understanding, and coming with that conception that this is a good teacher, a good master, a good leader, a good prophet. That's why Jesus said, "You look at me as man, there's no man that is good. You look at me as a teacher, there's no man that is naturally good as a teacher. Why callest thou me good? There is none that is good except God." Good by nature, good by character, good by life, good by everything he professes, and good by everything he does. In any case, verse 19, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, one. Do not kill, two. Do not steal, three. Do not bear false witness, four. Defraud not, five. Honor thy father and mother, six." You see that Jesus Christ took the commandments of the second table of the Ten Commandments, the two tables, the first containing your duty to God, the first containing your honor for God, the first containing your faith, implicit faith, unwavering faith, unchanging faith, unadulterated faith in the Lord Almighty, and acting in accordance with your faith, your submission unto God. But he took the second part, which is your duty to man. And you'll see what Christ has done. Christ did not go in line with number 5, number 6, number 7, number 8, number 9, number 10. He changed the ordering. Why? Because the man had been reading that quite a lot. What you read very often, when it's quoted to you in that same line, you just glib over it, gloss over it, and you do not have real conception. So the Lord said, "How about this? Do not commit adultery. Think about that. Do not kill. Think about that. Do not steal. Think about that. And do not bear false witness. Think about that. Honor your father and your mother. Think about that." And he answered and said unto him, "Master." He got some correction here. Instead of saying, "Good master," this time now, he just said, "Master, I see you're a teacher, and you said, there's no one that is naturally good. All right, learn from that. And so you yourself, if you have removed the good from the master, remove the good from your own life too. You're not naturally good. You're rotten. Even though you're religious, you're not acceptable to God. There is something you must still do, and that is faith in Christ, in the Savior. All your good works cannot save you." But he said, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Why did he love him? God so loved the world, everyone, the good and the bad, the rotten and the righteous, the left-handed and the right-handed, the blind and the seen, the saved and the unsaved. He loved everyone. And this one ran, and this one came to him, and this one kneeled down, and this one said, "I've been trying my best." He actually wanted eternal life. And so Christ loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest." Before I read that verse fully, let's come to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, the same story, but there's something here we need to observe. Matthew chapter 19, and then from verse 18. "And he says unto him which he had asked him to keep the commandments. And he said, well," Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother." And there's the conclusion now of those commandments in the second part of the Ten Commandments. Everything you do to your neighbor, love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. It's not just commandment 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10. The reason for all that is that you will love your neighbor as yourself. Remember now, your neighbor, the poor, love the poor as yourself. The penniless, love the penniless as yourself. The hungry, love the hungry as yourself. The naked, love the naked as yourself. The unfortunate in life, love the unfortunate in life as yourself. The one that is not coming to your synagogue, love the irreligious as yourself. The one that doesn't have any relationship with you, but is created by God, love all the creatures as yourself. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, "All these have I kept for my use up. What lack I yet? All these have I kept from my use." You mean that you have loved the poor as yourself? You have loved the penniless as yourself? Are you serious about that? You have loved the hungry as yourself? Is that truthful? You have loved the unfortunate, the downtrodden, as yourself? All right, then. Let's see. Verse 21. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and demonstrate it. Go and show it. Go sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And give the practical evidence. You love your neighbor. You love the poor as yourself. You love the downtrodden as yourself. You love the hungry and the naked as yourself. You love the widow and the fatherless and the orphan as yourself. Go sell what you have. If you were sick and your healing from the doctors demanded that you sold your property so that you can care for your health, will you do it? Oh, yes. You love your neighbor as yourself? Go and sell what you have. Take care of them. And what you would have done for yourself, do it to them. Because you say, all this have I kept, have I done from my youth. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that, the man that said, I've done it from my youth, I love my neighbor as myself, I love the poor, the fatherless, the widows as myself, and I've kept all the commandments of God, when he heard, go and prove it, go and show it, and demonstrate the love you have for your neighbor. And how you are keeping even the commandments of the Lord. We're not even talking now of the first four commandments unto God. We're just talking on the human level now. When he had that, he went away sorrowful. For he had great possession. Let's come back to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, we're reading now verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go sell, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Young man, that's not the final sin. Could you give all your money to the poor and you don't follow Christ? You don't have eternal life yet? Could you sell everything you had and give to the downtrodden and give to the hungry and give to the naked? If you don't come after Christ, you are not through yet. After you've done that, come, take up thy cross and follow me. I'm the giver of eternal life. And the one that shows eternal life to people is the grace that flows and the mercy that flows through me that gives eternal life. And so you must come with everything you've done. Come, take up thy cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. The Lord is telling us something. When you say you are righteous by yourself, you are holy by yourself, and you have qualified yourself, and you have eternal life all by yourself, the Lord is going to say, no, you can't. No, you don't. And I'll prove it to you. That's what he did to the young man. In Proverbs chapter 30, we're reading from verse 12. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 12. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes. All this I have done. What lack I yet? I'm a specimen of a good, religious, righteous synagogue attendant, churchgoer. What lack I yet? There is a generation that appear in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. In sin did my mother conceive me. In sin, iniquity was I born. You need a cleansing. It's not just, I've done this, I've done this, I've done that. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Isaiah tells us in chapter 64, Isaiah chapter 64, we're reading from verse 6. The young man said, I'm a righteous person by myself. I've done that, I've done that, I've done that. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, but we are all as an unclean thing. The things we do superficially on the surface without thinking of the rottenness of our heart, without thinking of the righteousness of our heart, we think we're doing not right. I do this, I don't commit adultery. But if you look on a woman to lust after her, you have committed adultery in your heart. I don't steal, but if you steal the glory that belongs to God alone, you are a thief. I don't bear false witness, but if you bear a witness about God, about Christ, that is not true and factual, you bear false witness. But I do not covet. But if you envy your neighbor who has what you don't have, you're a covetous man. I don't worship idol. But if you hold on to money and you exaggerate the importance of money, of riches, more than you're following after God, you take money, you worship money as an idol. That's why it says, but we all are as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses, in the plural, as filthy rags in the sight of God, and we all do fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Look at Romans chapter 9. In Romans chapter 9, we're reading from verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. What's your glory? What's your joy? What's your testimony? On what are you basing your salvation? I pay tithes, I do this, I don't smoke, I don't drink. That's right. That's salvation. I come to church. I come to Bible study. That's salvation. I don't miss this. I don't miss that. That's salvation. Everything you do by yourself, there is nothing that can save you. For all you do by yourself will still have the stain of the Adamic nature. In Romans chapter 9, reading from verse 30. Romans chapter 9, verse 30. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, have not attained the law of righteousness. Israel, all the Israelites, they're the picture of this man. Or this man is the picture. Once I do this, then I have eternal life. Because they followed by themselves in their own strength, in their own power, and they bragged and they boasted, look at what I have done. Shouldn't I have eternal life? What you have done, no matter how high, will not give you or grant you eternal life. It says in verse 30, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Why? For what reason? Because they sought it not by faith. They sought it in their own strength. They sought it in their own striving. They sought it by their own effort. They said, we don't need a savior. We don't need a messiah. We don't need a substitute. We don't need anybody to die for us. We can attain salvation by ourselves. We can have that eternal life by what we do. No, you cannot. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling block. They stumbled. Look at Romans chapter 6. We're reading from verse 22. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, being made free from sin, Christ has to do that. You cannot do that by yourself. I do this, I don't do this. I. The I for salvation cannot attain salvation. I'm pure by myself. I'm righteous by myself. I've made my way right by myself. I pay this money, I pay that money. I do this work, I do that work. Christ by atonement. Christ by sacrifice. Christ by the substitutionary sacrifice on the cross of Calvary has to make you righteous, has to forgive you. Let's say, for example, it were possible for you from age 15 to live a perfect life, impeccable, that you are just as righteous, as pure, as white, as snow, as good as an angel. If that were possible, it's not possible by yourself, in your own strength. If it were possible to live righteous, to live holy, from a particular age on to the day of death, will you by that get to heaven? No. All the sins you committed from when you were young until that age 15 or age 20 or age 27 or age 40, when you said, I'm not going to say anything wrong, I'm not going to do anything wrong, I'm going to act, I'm going to live like an angel, all the sins you committed before that time still has to be atoned for. And if they are not atoned for, anything you say you are doing now in your own strength cannot have eternal life. Look at that, verse 22, being now made free. He has to make you free from sin and become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. But the fruit of God, the gift of God, the gift of God, we don't earn this one. We don't buy this one. We don't qualify for this one. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's the only way it will come, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 21. Romans chapter 5, verse 21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. It's by grace. By grace is the gift of God. Through righteousness unto eternal life, by Jesus Christ our Lord, the one that gives us eternal life. Whatever we have done is not pure enough to earn eternal life. What shall I do? There's something Christ has done, and you must take note of that. It's not only what you do, but what he has done. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, we're reading from verse 5. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done. The young man did not realize that. That rich man did not realize that. That man, that woman bragging about, I don't do evil. I don't hurt any people. My mind is plain. This is how my heart is. I'm simple. I'm sincere. I do my best. I help people. And I go to church. And I read the Bible. And I pray. And I fast. Not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There must be a renewal in regeneration, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace. See that? It's not something we earn. We're justified by his grace. We should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We're coming back to Mark chapter 10. Point number 2 now. Reaping eternal loss through focus on the corruptible. Reaping eternal loss through focus on the corruptible. Mark chapter 10. I'm reading from verse 22. And he was sad that many people, they come to ask a question about eternal life. They're asking because we assume they don't know. And they're asking from Christ because we think they suppose or they think that Christ ought to know. And now they have asked the Lord. And the Lord has given the appropriate answer for them. For them to have eternal life. And yet, after the right answer has been given to them, they are sad, and you are asking, wait a minute, why are you sad? You asked a question. Christ answered you, and he told you what to do. And the climax of what he said, the overall thing is, come to me, because except you come to Christ, you cannot have eternal life. Take up your cross. People will persecute you. They will oppose you. They will stand as a stumbling block before you. But you take the stumbling block as a stepping stone and you keep on following me. That's the right answer. Why are you sad? They didn't hear what they wanted to hear. They wanted Christ to lift them up and to make them a showcase and say, see that man by himself, in his own strength, in his own power. He makes my coming. He makes my cross. He makes my crucifixion. He makes my death unnecessary. He can save himself. Look at the man. That's what the man expected. For the Lord to lift him up. Congrats. You have saved yourself without me. That's what he wanted to hear. But when he heard that there's no salvation in any other, there is no name, and there's no righteousness that anybody can practice on earth and attain unto eternal life by himself, he must forsake all. He must abandon all. He must repent. He must turn away from even what he calls his goodness. And then he must come. He must take up his cross and follow me. When he had that, he was sad. Verse 22. And he was sad at that saying. And he went away grieved. For he had great possessions. He should have stayed to hear the final scene from Christ. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? They've never heard anything like that before. And maybe you've never heard anything like that before. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Why? Because the people that have riches, use the word, that possess riches, and their riches possess them. You see, money, wealth, and riches, they have a way of possessing the man, of having the man, of capturing the man. And the man who possesses riches, the man that riches possess, that his wealth has captured him, imprisoned him, his wealth has totally captivated him, and the wealth has urged him. And now he thinks, everything he thinks on the basis of riches. I need a house, he thinks of the riches building the house. I need health, he thinks of riches providing that health. And I need anything, I need a contact, I need a man, I need somebody, I need servants. He thinks of riches giving him everything. I want eternal life. He thinks of riches giving him that eternal life. I need heaven. And he thinks of riches. Riches, money will answer every matter in his life. How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of heaven? And the disciples were astonished at his word. And they were so much astonished, but Jesus answered again and says unto them, understand now, this is the real meaning of what Jesus said. So he clarified it in their heart, children, how hard is it for them that, tell me the word there, tell me. Let me hear you now. Let the others around you hear you well. That trust in riches, the trust. They don't put their trust in God, in riches. They don't put their trust in the mercy of God, they put it in riches. They don't put their trust in Christ, they put their trust in riches. They do not put their trust in the grace of God. I'm nothing without his grace. I'm nothing without the gift of eternal life. I'm somebody. I have riches. They put their trust in riches. How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man trusting in his riches to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they were astonished out of measure. They were astonished before. But now with the explanation, knowing the nature of the rich people around them, knowing the attitude of the rich people around them, that those rich people, they don't trust anyone beyond them. They trust their riches. They don't understand money can buy bed, but money cannot buy sleep. They don't understand money can build a house, but money cannot raise a home. They don't understand money can buy books, but money cannot buy a sharp brain. They don't understand Money can buy medicine, but money cannot buy health. They don't understand money can buy earthly things, but money cannot have heavenly things. And so, as Jesus gave the explanation, the people who thought money is all in all, money can get you anywhere, money can get you anything, money can climb the ladder and pull you up the ladder and pull you into heaven. That's what they thought. Money can do everything. They were now astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? If the people who have money to buy Bibles cannot be saved by just buying a Bible, they have to read, they have to believe, they have to put their faith in the Christ they read of in the Bible. Aye, but the people that don't have money to buy the Bible, who then can be saved? If the people that have transportation to go to a church, to go to a synagogue, if they can go to church using their transportation, aye, but the people that don't have transportation, who then can be saved? If the people that have the way and the green light to come to Christ, and they can come and they're bold and they're audacious, and they do not inherit eternal life, but the people that don't even have the courage to come, who then can be saved? That's the way they thought, and Jesus, looking upon them, says, with men it is impossible. With men it is impossible, but not with God. God can so touch the heart of any man, can so transform the heart of any man, can so lead them away from trusting their riches and trusting God, believing in God, and they can still get to heaven. It's God that can do that, but with God, not with God. All with God, all things are possible. With God, somebody help me complete that. He can save anyone. And he will save all those who have come to him here today in Jesus' name. What was the problem of that man? The problem of that man is that he focused on the corruptible, focused on silver and gold. He focused on money. He focused on wealth. Look at First Peter. I'm reading from chapter 1. First Peter, chapter 1. We're reading from verse 18. From verse 18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, not saved, not justified, not forgiven, not cleansed, not given eternal life on the basis of corruptible things like silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. That's the only way of salvation. Your money cannot save you. Everything you have cannot save you. They are corruptible in the sight of the Lord. Psalm 49. In Psalm 49, we're reading from verse 6. Psalm 49, reading from verse 6. They that trust in their wealth, like that man, they that trust in their riches, like the man we're studying about, they that trust in their possession, like the man we're reading about, like many people today. Although they go to church, they just go to church as formality. If you ask them, how do you know you are going to heaven? Oh, they say, my good works are greater than my bad works. They say, I know I'm a sinner, but I'm not like an ordinary sinner. I do this, I do this, I do this. I pay my due in our church. I give tithes and offering in our church. I give money to the beggars. I do the best I can. You know what? It's true I'm rich, but I use my riches for good purposes. I use my wealth for good purposes. They trust in their wealth. They trust in their riches. But look at verse 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. They boast themselves in the multitude of their riches. None of them can by any means redeem his brother. They cannot redeem themselves, and they cannot redeem any relative. They cannot redeem any neighbor. None of them. None of them. None of the rich people. None of the people of power, people of wealth, none of the prospered people, none of them by any means can redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, so precious, only the blood of a substitute, a perfect substitute, can atone for their sins and can give them eternal life. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceases forever. Look at verse 11. In verse 11, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. Their inward thought is that their money, their wealth, their riches will build something that will endure and continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. It's like a beast that perish. This their way is their folly. This their thought is their foolishness. This their reliance on riches, their trust in riches, their trust in wealth is their folly. Yet their prosperity approve their sayings. Their posterity, the people around them, still think they're doing the right thing. I pray God will open the eyes of everyone in Jesus' name. Psalm 52. In Psalm 52, reading from verse 7. Psalm 52, verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. This is the man that made not God his salvation. This is the man that made not God his life eternal, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. I'm asking you now, what do you trust? Who do you trust? What do you think is the basis of you inheriting everlasting life, eternal life? Do you think it's your riches? Do you think it's your goodness? Do you think it's what you do without Christ? Do you think it's your not wearing this and wearing that? Do you think it's your not drinking this, not smoking that? Do you think it's by your own strength, by your own power? Do you think it's by the things you brag about, what you have, what you possess, or what possesses you that you trust in, that is going to give you eternal life? Is God in your thought? Is God in your faith? Is God in your trust? No. This is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthens himself in his wickedness. Whatever else they're doing, they strengthen themselves because they think money will buy everything. Possession will buy everything. Position will buy everything. Jeremiah, we're reading from chapter 9, Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Trust in his riches. Be possessed by his riches. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, a Savior, as the one that so loved the world, he gave a Redeemer, he gave a Savior, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, trust in God, believe in God, believe in Christ, and don't make your riches to be a substitute for the Savior, a replacement of the Savior, thinking that your riches will save you. He that glorieth, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness, and in the earth, for in these things I delight, says the Lord. Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, reading from verse 16. Luke chapter 12, we're reading from verse 16. In verse 16, hear the words of Christ. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man, brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, if he has read the scriptures, nothing he read in the scriptures came into what he thought within himself. If he goes to church, if he's churchgoer, nothing he has heard in the church comes to his thought within himself. If he has heard any message from any preacher, nothing he has heard comes into his thought within himself. Rich men have a way of being possessed by their riches, obsessed with their riches, and captivated, captured, imprisoned by their riches. And they can only think in terms of what they earn, what they have, what they possess, what possesses them. In verse 17, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I all the time. The rich people are so full of themselves. What are they looking for? They can command servants. What are they looking for? They can buy anything. What are they looking for? They can build anything. What are they looking for? They can have contacts, long leg, long arm. What are they looking for? Anything earthly, anything on earth, they think they can possess by themselves. And their thought and their language is full of I. When you come to Christ, that's what God cancels out of your life. He crosses that I, so that you can now say, it's no more I that live, but Christ liveth in me. But while you're still in your natural self, unsaved or backsliding, you're full of yourself. And he says, there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, everything mine, 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 I. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat and drink and be merry. But God, who only is the source of his salvation, but God, who only is the giver of eternal life, but God, who is only the only provider of salvation, but God, whom he had forgotten, but God, whom he was not thinking about, but God, who was not in his thoughts, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? He's going to a lost eternity because he trusts in riches. Verse 21, so is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich, is not rich, is not rich towards God. How? It's not rich in faith. How? It's not rich in thought, in a trust. How? It's not rich in the kingdom of God. It's not rich. He has not given his soul to Christ. For Christ to give him the only riches that is eternal, salvation. A foolish man, a foolish woman that puts all the focus, all the trust on things they have on earth, and they are not rich towards God. How about you? Think about yourself. You claim you are saved, but you think of that salvation as the greatest riches you have. You say you are sanctified. Do you think of that sanctification as the greatest possession you have? You think of the Holy Ghost in feeling, in dwelling, baptism in the Holy Ghost. Do you think of the guidance of that Holy Ghost as the greatest guide you have? Or do you just say that by word of mouth? But in your life, in your behavior, in everything, you rely on yourself. You trust in yourself. You have solution for everything. You have answer for everything. And Christ, the Savior, is not in your thoughts. If you die in that condition, it will be eternal loss. Let's come back to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. We're reading from verse 28. Mark chapter 10. Reading from verse 28. Then Peter began to say, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Understand? When Peter and the rest of the apostles heard that those said that man went away sorrowful and sad, then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Please understand, take everything together. We have left all. If you stopped there, that one does not earn salvation. We have left all, and we're living now on the charity of people. That one does not bring salvation. We have left all, and we have followed thee. We have followed thee, the Savior. We have followed thee, the provider. We have followed thee, the healer. We have followed thee. Everything we have left, what we get from you is not to be compared with what we have left. because now, as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these will be added unto us. As we have left all and we're following you, you are the owner, you are the possessor of all things. And as we're following you, we're not going to get hungry. As we're following you, we're not going to remain naked. As we're following you, we're not going to remain poor. As we're following you, we're not going to remain sick. We have followed you. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake, not just to leave all. The people that can leave many things because an idol told them to leave that thing. Don't eat meat, don't eat this, don't eat that, because the idol of your family does not want anybody eating that. And they leave that thing. That one does not give you eternal life. For my sake, and the gospel's sake, will leave this because they hinder the gospel. They hinder our following the Lord, and they hinder our obeying the Lord. It says, but he shall receive an hundredfold now. In this time, houses, that man that went away sorrowful did not understand the provision of the Lord, the substitution of grace, and the provision of the riches of the kingdom. He thought, I live all, I follow Christ, and then that means I'm going to be living from hand to mouth. I'm going to be living like a poor beggar. He didn't understand. There are many people that hear one part of the scriptures, and they have not heard the other part. And the part they have heard has so annoyed them, made them sad, that they run away, and they run away to perdition. You will not run away to perdition. I can't hear your amen. I think sometimes you forget you are now in 2020. Now, remember 2020, amen. Where is that? Yeah. Verse 13, and he shall receive an hundredfold when? Tell me. Now in this life, houses, brethren, sisters, brothers, children, lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, tell me, eternal life. I need to point something out to you. Look at verse 29. Jesus answered and said, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that has left, tell me, or tell me, or tell me, or tell me, or say it, or the next one. What? Or what? Why? Everybody shout, why? Many people are not married there. If you are married, shout, why? Now, delete this, and why? Because of persecution, because of the gospel. Look at verse 30. But he shall receive an hundredfold now in this life. Tell me again, brethren, and tell me another, sisters, and tell me again, mothers, and tell me again, and tell me again. Something is missing here. He's not going to give you wives. You've had one wife. If because of the gospel, the separation, you will make reconciliation and you go back to that wife. Because the Lord may give you houses, may give you brethren, may give you sisters, even mothers in the Lord, may give you children in the Lord, may give you lands, and you may have persecution, but you are not going to have wives. The Lord is very clear in what he says and in what he teaches. And then he says in verse 31, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Amen. I pray you will not be last. Why did Jesus say many that are first shall be last? The people who have believed long ago, they first believed. They were fervent. They were hot for the Lord. They were prayerful. They were obedient to the Lord. They were submissive to the Lord. But the higher they go, the cooler they become. The more they have been trusting the Lord, and the more they have been following after the Lord, now they slow down. And the people that are just coming in now, and the first, they are last, because they are just coming in, their fervency, and their hotness of faith, and their submission, and their obedience becomes so great, they overtake the people who have believed for a long time, who are no more fervent, who are no more dedicated, who are no more submissive. I pray that those who are coming now at the last time will not overtake you and surpass you in Jesus' name. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. What's the Lord asking for? The Lord is asking for crucifixion. That he was crucified, and as he was crucified, he left everything. You will be like him. We're looking at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, we're reading from verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. When you are crucified with Christ, all the things of this world will not be so important. You are holding on to it with a tight hand, and you are not willing to miss anything. You rather stay at a shop than coming for Bible study. You rather go for that invitation than coming to the Sunday service. You rather go and for that business contact and that business or whatever riches instead of coming to the Lord. When you are really crucified with the Lord, which is what the Lord is expecting of everyone, that none of these things will hold you down. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. They that belong to Christ, you remain crucified. Crucify the flesh and the affections and the lust. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. When you come to Christ, you might still have your house, you might still have your property, you might still have everything you've got, but you hold them with a loose hand. Shall Christ demand them? Shall Christ say, give to the poor? Shall Christ say, feed the hungry? Shall Christ say, clothe the naked? Shall Christ say, help your neighbor? You hold that thing with a loose hand. You're crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to you. You are not holding anything so tight, you cannot give up because of the calling of God upon your life. We're looking at Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, reading from verse 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Our old man that will hold this tight. Our old man that will hold money tight. Our old man that is stingy. Our old man that is selfish. Our old man that is self-centered. And we cannot give up anything to help the poor and to help the fatherless and to help the widows. Our old man that is so self-centered. That one is crucified now, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. That new life the Lord will give to everyone in Jesus' name. And whatever the Lord requires that you are to give up, you give up cheerfully, you give up willingly. There's nothing you're holding in your hand that you say, I'm benefiting from this, I'm benefiting from that. Sometimes it's even a wrong thing. Sometimes it's even a bad thing that is hurting other people. You give them up without thinking, if I give that up, how will I continue to have this and that? We're looking at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we're reading from verse 9. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God. That's why Paul the Apostle gave up whatever will still look like it was having his own righteousness, having his own way. Look at verse 7. But what things were gain to me, Jewish religion? But what things were gain to me, my position among the Pharisees? But what things were gain to me, my authority of having letters and, you know, going here and there and pouncing on people? What things were gain to me in religion? Those I counted loss for Christ. I give them up. Never ye doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them dung but dung, that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. We're coming to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're reading from verse 24. Hebrews 11. Reading from verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He gave up that one. That's greater than riches, that's royalty. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Esteeming the reproach, the persecution, esteeming all he suffered for the sake of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. I pray that that same grace, that same faith the Lord gave to all those worthies of old, he'll give to us in Jesus' name. We'll not hold to everything, anything so tight that will allow them to conflict with our salvation, with our eternal life, with our trust in the Lord, with our depending upon the Lord. And whatever God requires that we give up for gospel's sake and for Christ's sake, we'll give up without being sad, like the foolish rich man in Jesus' name. And when you put the kingdom of God first, and you put God first, and you put Christ first in your life, whatever you lose, the Lord will multiply a hundredfold to give unto you in Jesus' name. Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not things on the earth. Set your affection, your love, your focus on things above, not things on the earth. Not on money, not on riches, not on houses, not on lands, not on property, not certificates. Have them as the Lord permits, but don't set your faith, your heart on them. And don't put them beyond and above your salvation, your eternal life, and your growth in Christ. Don't put any of the things of this life above your earthly, your heavenly inheritance. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. That heaven you'll not miss in Jesus' name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and eternal life will be yours. Abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, that eternal life will remain until Christ comes for every one of us to go into his kingdom in Jesus' name. I'll be wise, I will not be foolish. I will be wise, I will not be foolish. The wise, hold on to eternal life. Don't allow anything on earth to take eternal life from you. Let's rise up now and pray. Talk to the Lord in prayer. God loves everyone, and he wants everyone to have eternal life. God loves everyone. He wants you to inherit eternal life. Repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And after you are saved, don't replace that eternal life salvation with riches or the things of this world. Abide in the Lord, endure unto the end, and so will you retain, so will you abide in that eternal life until it comes.
Let's commit ourselves to God. We've had Christ revealed condition of inheriting eternal life. Take whatever you have learned to the Lord this evening. I believe that God has revealed his will to you, how you can obtain eternal life. We have seen the rich young man who put, having had interest, a desire to inherit eternal life. He came to Jesus Christ asking question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was told what to do, but he found it difficult to obey what he was asked to do. He went away sorrowful. Tonight, the Lord has revealed to you what you are to do, that you should not trust in your riches. You should not trust in the work of righteousness which you have done. But you should put your faith in Christ and trust in the righteousness which is of God by faith, so that you can enter into the kingdom of God. My dear friend, you are here tonight. Do you find it difficult to obey? To do away with all your self-righteousness and come unto the Lord just as you are and trust in Him for the salvation of your soul. Pray tonight. Lord, here am I, Lord. Save me. Deliver me. Have mercy upon me. Don't walk away like that wrong young man that went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. What do you have here that you will not leave here behind? One day, all the houses. One day, all the cars. One day, all the money in the banks. One day, all the certificates you are writing about after. One day, all the things of this world that you have acquired, you will leave them behind. Then, and you go to eternity to face your Creator. If you don't accept Him as your Lord and Savior, then you might be doomed. Then you might be like that young man, rich man, that went away sorrowful. Open your mouth and pray tonight. And say, Lord, have mercy upon me. I want to make eternal life. I don't want to die a sinner. Lord, have mercy. And the Lord will have mercy. Receive eternal life through faith in Christ tonight. Receive that eternal life. It's by you right there. It has been delivered to you. Stretch forth your hand to heaven and receive that eternal life. Don't lose focus, or don't put your focus on corruptible things of this world. Everything you see here in this world, none of them will go with you when you are going. Open your mouth tonight. Say, Lord, here am I surrender. Here am I surrender. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me all my sins, and the Lord will forgive you. Open your mouth and pray. Don't be like that young rich man. Don't be like that young foolish man who trusted in his riches, who would not put his trust in God. All those things of this world will be blown away in one day. You close your eyes, you will not see them anymore. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Tell the Lord, God can save a rich man. If he put his trust and confidence in God, God has power to save a rich man, a rich woman. No matter how rich you may be, if you put your trust in God and not in those riches, when you handle those things with loose hand, and you know that it's God that gives you power to gather those things, and you give glory to God for it, and you use it to serve the Lord, you will be saved if you put your trust in God. But when you put your trust in riches of this world, you know that those things cannot save you. None of you can be saved by the riches of your hand. All the things you gather cannot save you. They are filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Do you help people? What you have? Do you use to love your neighbor as yourself? You acquire wealth. You are using it all alone by yourself. You don't remember elder people who are suffering. Jesus told that rich man, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Come and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. He went away sorrowful. What are you doing with your riches? The money you gather, all those things you gather, people are suffering by your side. What are you doing with them? Amassing them. In fact, sometimes they are too much for you to use. You don't know what to do with them again. But there are poor people around you. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? The Lord is challenging us tonight. We should look inward and look outward. Look at people around us and use our riches and whatever we have to help them. Call upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord is assuring us tonight, we can retain eternal life through fellowship with the crucified. You receive that eternal life, and then you retain that eternal life. Don't lose it for any reason. Hold on to that eternal life that you have received. Peter said, we have left all and we have followed thee. And Jesus assured him that no man that have left father, mother, wife, children, land, houses, that will not receive a hundredfold. Tonight, the Lord is assuring you, you have not made a mistake by coming to the Lord. You have not made a mistake by forsaking all the positions in the world, all the fame in the world, all the enjoyment in the world. You have not made a mistake by forsaking them and followed the Lord. You have come to the Lord, the giver of life, the giver of riches, the sustainer of life, the sustainer of those that are rich. God will sustain you in his kingdom. And then if you are poor, do not say, because I'm poor, that's the reason why I'm serving God. No. You serve God because God wants you to serve him. And the Lord has preserved for you a heavenly kingdom where you have all things that you need, where all the tears will be wiped away, where there will be no more sorrow or poverty anymore. Call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, here am I tonight. I renew my consecration. I renew my dedication. I renew my commitment. Lord, I am crucified with you. Lord, I don't have anything to do with the things of the world anymore. The Lord will help you, will sustain you. He will give you the grace that you need to be sustained to the very end. Call upon the Lord, call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. If you are a sinner, and you have seen yourself as a sinner, why don't you repent tonight and call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. The Lord will surely have mercy. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If that rich young man has obeyed the Lord, he would have been saved. He would have been saved. If you will obey the word of the Lord tonight, you will be saved. Backslider, call upon the Lord. Were you a believer before? You have gone away to the things of this world, but now you are here by the grace of God. And then what God expects you to do is to repent. Come back to the Lord. Come back to the Lord, and the Lord will have mercy upon you. The Lord will have mercy upon you. He will forgive you. He will forgive you and wash you in the blood of the Lamb. Remember, you must retain that eternal life. As you are going back home, continue to meditate on this word that you have had. Riches cannot save. Money cannot save. Houses cannot save. Possessions of properties cannot save. Only Jesus can save. Only Jesus can save. And we save the vilest sinner tonight. If you will look on him and confess your sin to him, he will forgive you. In Jesus' name we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and bless your name tonight. We are grateful to you for the revelation of your word. Lord, you are not interested in death of any sinner, but that the sinner should come to repentance. Lord, we are praying tonight as many as are repenting of their sins, the backsliders getting restored. We pray for them, O Lord, that you receive them, Lord, into your kingdom in Jesus' name. Father, of all of us that are here, none of us will be foolish than that young rich man who focus on the things that are corruptible and will not look unto you, Lord, the giver of riches, the giver of life, the giver of eternal life. Father, as we have come here tonight and had this word, Lord, give us grace to receive this eternal life. Give us the grace to retain this eternal life. and keep it to the very end in Jesus' name. Lord, you are the giver of riches. You are the giver, you give us strength to labor and to get possessions. Lord, help us to know how to give them back unto you. Help us to know how to use them to serve you. So that, Lord, eternally, we will have everything back to ourselves in Jesus' name. As we've heard this word tonight, we are praying that you will use the indelible ink by the power of the Spirit of God to write them upon the table of our hearts, so that we will not forget them. So that we can continue to meditate upon the word of the Lord, and our lives be better than ever before. And the grace of God be sufficient for us. And the race we have set before us, we will run them to the end in Jesus' name. Thank you very much, Father, for answering our prayers. And for our Father in the Lord, that you have used to bless us tonight, we pray in return you will bless him. We pray that you will keep him. We pray that you renew his strength, so that you continue to teach us your word in Jesus' name. And as children, give us grace to obey your word, so that when he sees us, he'll be happy with us. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayer. As we go home, protect every one of us. Clear the road for every one of us. Thank you very much for answering our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.